the Bahamas and Ireland and other tax havens and pile it up. In the meantime, they're not investing these huge profits, Cisco, Intel, Microsoft, Apple, they're not investing in this country. So you have this amazing situation where you have a recession, you have very high unemployment, you have high underemployment, and you've got huge capital reserves piling up, not being taxed to be put back into building our public works and repairing America and creating jobs. And you got, you know, a rump Congress just basically curtsying to all this. So we got a real problem here. It's not too extreme to call our system of government now American fascism. It's the control of government by big business, which Franklin Delano Roosevelt defined in 1938 as fascism. And they control the government and turn the government to their favor, subsidies, handouts, giveaways, deferred prosecutions, non-prosecutions, and against the American people. And minimum wage is just one. You have full Medicare for all, which a majority of doctors and the American people want, with free choice of doctor and hospital. We're the only Western country that doesn't have it. 800 Americans a week die because they cannot afford diagnosis and treatment for their ailments. That's 800 Americans a week, 45,000 a year. Who says so? A study is peer-reviewed out of Harvard Medical School. So we have the lowest minimum wage in the Western world. We have the greatest amount of consumer debt. We have the highest child poverty, the highest adult poverty, huge underemployment, a crumbling public works, but huge multi-billionaires and hugely profitable corporations. I say to the American people, what's your breaking point? When are you going to stop making excuses for yourself? When are you going to stop exaggerating these powers when you know you have the power in this country if you organize it? That's why I want people to go to timeforaraise.org, get the summons, fill out the names, and get the congresspeople and the senators back in August.
Ralph, what do you think the U.S. government should do, President Obama, the Federal Reserve, to take on high unemployment?
Public works is obviously the best. I mean, we have trillions of dollars, according to the American Society of Civil Engineers. It's not just bridges and highways. It's sewage and water systems. It's public buildings. It's dams. It's ports. It's community clinics. It's libraries. The country is running down. And when I say big corporations are running the U.S. Into the ground, that's part of the dismal picture. Now, that creates jobs that are good paying, they're decentralized in every community, and you can't export them to China. So that's what the government should do. But, of course, if President Obama cannot defeat the worst, cruelest, most vicious, ignorant Republican Party in history and take over the Congress, instead, he loses it in 2010 in the House, and he loses it in 2012 in the House, and he's going to lose it again in 2014 because he doesn't know how to take the Republican votes that are so cruel and vicious that have actually passed the House of Representatives and have been documented by the House Democratic Caucus and hurl it against them in the coming election. So what's he going to do the rest of his term if he's being run by Boehner and Cantor and McConnell, the Republican minority?
Ralph Nader, you wrote an open letter to President Obama asking him to explain by what authority he's empowered to imprison prisoners indefinitely at Guantanamo Bay and kill people abroad with drone warfare.
Yeah, it's really quite clear. President Obama is a recidivist violator, systematically, day after day, of Constitution, of our statutes, and our international treaties. We still have torture. We still have indefinite imprisonment. We still have war crimes all over part of Asia and Africa, violating all kinds of laws. These wars have never been declared by Congress. We have indefinite imprisonment. They use the word detainee. Don't you like that word, detainee? You know, you're in Guantanamo for 9 years. You're still a detainee instead of a prisoner. And the press uses their language, too. So we sent him a letter with Bruce Fine, who now has started a group called the National Commission on the Misuse of Intelligence to Justify War. Lies, in other words. cover-ups. These are the people who should be on trial, not Bradley Manning. The people who lied in official Washington, Bush and Cheney and Wolfowitz, who lied and caused the death of thousands of American soldiers and hundreds of thousands of American injuries. Those are the people who should be on trial. So this letter goes right to the core. Every time Obama tries to say he's doing this and that, he should give the constitutional, statutory, or treaty authority. And the press has not been holding his feet to the fire or his representatives. They should always ask, by what authority are you doing this, Mr. President, and by what evidence? By what authority and by what evidence?
Finally, in the last 10 seconds we have, Frank Lautenberg, the longtime senator from New Jersey, just died. Your thoughts?
Well, he has a marvelous record. You pointed out his record in environment and consumer. It's going to be a real loss to the Senate.
Ralph Nader, I want to thank you for being with us. His new book, Told You So, he'll be speaking at Barnes & Noble Wednesday night here in New York at Union Square. And I'll be interviewing you at the 92nd Street Y Thursday night at 8:15. Hope to see people there. I'm Amy Goodman with Aramate. Our website is democracynow.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Donald.
And I'm Bob. And we're both heard on Sunday afternoons.
With your WUSB concert billboard for Wednesday, June 5th.
Gary U.S. Bonds will be at B.B. King's in Manhattan, 8 p.m. Patty Griffin will be at the Prospect Park Band Shell in Brooklyn at 8:15. Jill Beyer Band will be at the Dublin Deck in Patchogue. Your billboard for Thursday, June 6th.
The B-52s will be at the Capitol Theater in Portchester, 8 p.m. Southbound will be at Dublin Deck in Patchogue. Steel Dramania will be at The View in Oakdale. Jerry Douglas will be at the Blue Note for two shows, 8 and 10:30. Live in the Lobby presents Michael Korb and John Florsasante at the Patchogue Theater. Kerry Carney at the Barrier Beach Blues Festival, 7:30. Long Beach Public Library Auditorium in Long Beach.
Tune in throughout the day, each day, to hear Concert Billboard on the air or see it at the WUSB website at wusb.fm/CBB. It's a service of WUSB Stony Brook.
And at 5 minutes after 6 o'clock, time for the 6 o'clock program, Off the Wall.
Thank you.
a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined once again by Kyle.
Good evening.
How you doing over there, Kyle?
I'm okay.
No, you sound really terrible. What's up with your voice?
I'm having an allergic reaction to the way the station's being run.
Well, in fairness, well, we can talk about that, but in fairness, that's really not what happened to your voice.
Your voice. I actually am on America's Got Talent.
No, let's try and do an hour of telling the truth on the radio. I mean,
all right,
the truth doesn't always, it's not always pleasant. Sometimes it hurts, but sometimes we have to tell the truth.
All right, we went to a taping of a really awesome show last night in New York.
That is the truth.
Yeah, it was a television show. People might be familiar with it. It's called The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
If you listen to yesterday's Daily Show with Jon Stewart, you will hear Kyle screaming every time the applause light goes on because they told us to do that. They come out and they say, yeah, we want to hear how loudly you can scream. You have to practice, you know, for a few times before anything even happens.
There's no applause light. It's just Arsenio Hall. He just shakes his fists and gets everybody riled up.
It wasn't Arsenio Hall.
All right. Well, whatever.
The point is that you got to get loud. You got to shout. You got to jump
TV.
Up and down.
Yeah.
And I think you were the loudest one there because I was next to you, for one thing. And my ears are still ringing from that.
I enjoyed myself.
You did
as good a job as I thought I could.
Well, I said it reminded me of the pillow fighting escapade in Quebec.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know what that means, it wasn't one of our pillow fights. No, it was a pillow fight competition amongst professionals. There are professional pillow fighting leagues. Look it up. We're not making this up. We don't have time to go over it and recap everything that we do.
I lost my voice there, too, though. It's a similar situation. Mm-hmm. I think I will point out, I think it's funny that sedate Americans watching The Daily Show need extra revelry from the in-studio audience because they're that unexcited by how crappy our country is.
It's basically the TV producers that say, you set the tone in the audience by being loud and enthusiastic and applauding all the time.
As if the
people watching are dumb enough not to be able to find something funny on their own or to be able to applaud something on their own.
Or for that matter, the fact they have microphones and amplifiers and mixers, I'm sure they can make us louder. They had enough microphones in there. I don't know why we have to be extra loud. But anyway, it destroyed my voice.
It was a great show. It really
was. Awesome. It was cool.
Jon Stewart is amazing. He's an incredible guy who gets it and is funny at the same time. But I have to say, and this has been my experience every time I've gone to a taped program in the United States,
The
security is just unreal.
Awful.
And they really kind of talk down to you a lot.
Condescending.
Very condescending. They have tighter restrictions on phones and cameras than North Korea, and that is not a joke. Because in North Korea, I could take my phone, I could take pictures, and in The Daily Show, they say they will confiscate your phone and your camera if you even take it out, because they will assume that you have taken a picture if you take it out of your pocket. And you know, what is the big deal, first of all, if you take a picture inside there? I mean, I would agree not to do it. If they ask me not to do it, I won't do it. But if someone did take a picture, wow, what is it, a secret? I mean, you do broadcast the set every single day.
Right.
So it's just do what we tell you to do or else. That's the mentality. And, you know, it's not like that will disrupt a television program. We went to another television program in Toronto, our neighbors to the north.
Yeah.
Our friend George Stramanopoulos.
George Stramanopoulos, the best late night interview talk show host in the world.
And when they repeat it in the afternoon, he's the best afternoon talk show host in the
world. Doesn't matter. Yeah. He's the best in the world. And let me tell you, the CBC, they don't care.
Well, but they're just intelligent.
They give you a little respect. Here, it's like Viacom basically slapping you around. And, you know, I don't know. Are they licensing the gaffer's tape and the curtains? There were black curtains there. I said it.
Uh-huh.
There were even shrouds on some of the scoop lights.
Uh-huh.
I think they're called scoop lights. But they had shrouds on them so that when the camera's facing the ceiling, the aerial camera, the one on the boom, when that one floats around, it doesn't see any of the inside of the scoop light. And then the two scoop, three, four, five scoop lights facing Jon Stewart don't get in the shot for the aerials. There, I just gave it up.
Wow.
Viacom's going to sue me now.
That could be who's calling on the phone right now. That is the green line, which is the one that's not supposed to ring.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. Well, Kyle, I didn't know you're gonna reveal all that information. And they specifically asked us not to tell anybody anything.
I didn't sign anything. I just read
by
the word
walking
release.
Through the door. You were signing. That's how it works now.
All right. Well,
and they did take a piece of your DNA so that they know exactly who was there when.
Well, I got a couple things I could release.
Well, okay. There. Before this spirals out of control,
scripts or something
too much. It was a good program, but
you have to
plan a day around this. You really do.
I'm exaggerating.
You have to get there. Yeah. Well, first we had to get there.
Yeah.
Well, no. Wait. Hold on a second. First, I had to get to the point where we could get two tickets to the thing, which is basically monitoring their website 24/7 until something opens up and jumping as fast as you can, filling out the form, and then okay, you have to reconfirm. But that doesn't mean you're going to get in. You have to show up. They tell you to show up at 4 o'clock. If you don't show up at 1:30, you will not get a ticket. That's how it works. And right. They don't even... They give out the tickets at 2:30. So I don't know why they tell you to show up at 4.
Which is distinct from the CBC.
Mm-hmm.
Our other experience in a live show...
Yes.
...was totally different because it was merely just checking the website. You know, you get an email. It was very straightforward. You go and you show up and line up with everybody. You get to walk around.
Well, hold on.
CBC
we didn't have to line up. We lined up at the end. But in this particular case yesterday, we had to line up first to get the actual tickets. We had
right.
reservations, but we didn't get the tickets. You had to wait in line for at least an hour and a half to do that.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, then you came back at 4 o'clock.
Right.
And then you had to wait again.
Yes.
And I think we were only like 6 people away from the cutoff, too.
Yeah.
We got there early, but if we had gotten there just a little bit later, we wouldn't have gotten any tickets. But at the CBC, all we did was show up. There was a cop there. He wasn't there to search us, to interrogate us. He was there to help us.
No, we were trying to find out where do we go to stand, to wait, to go into the show. We only had to wait and show up once mm-hmm. at the appropriate time. It's very straightforward. You go in, you're a part of the show. You can go down. You can maybe even speak with some of the talent. Yeah. Yeah, I've shaken George Strombonopoulos' hand.
I took a picture of him and you at the same
time. Oh, my
time.
God. You know
yeah.
what? You're right. There is a photo, a private photo, mind
uh-huh.
you, of me standing next to George Strombonopoulos.
I'll bet if I had asked, I could have sat in the red chair.
You probably could have.
Don't know what the red chair is. You need to watch that program.
Well,
actually,
I think you should wait till you're formally invited.
Okay, all right.
There's
fair
a good
enough.
Chance of that too.
You think?
I think.
All right.
You're worth it.
Well, he's definitely, as we say, one of the best interviewers around. And
best.
And you will actually in America get a chance to see him because he's coming to CNN. And I kind of have mixed feelings about this. He has a
yeah.
Friday night show now, so maybe America will discover him. But we've been watching this guy for years. And he really
la,
is.
La, 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 la,
what?
La, la.
Don't want to hear it?
No, just stop ruining it for me. Why is he? No, it's
How
now
am I
everybody
ruining it?
In their trailer park on their hover round.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be riding to get the Cheetos and get their ranch dip, and they're saying, "Oh, switch the monster trucks over. We got to get our George Strombo in."
Well, you know, you have a higher opinion of those people than I do because I don't think they're going to tune in. All right, you seem to think that everybody, you know, in an RV is going to be trying to watch George, and I don't think that's going to...
Let's put it this way. It could be a good thing, but I really think it could ruin it, too. But there are some caveats. He's staying in CB. He's not actually going to be broadcasting from Atlanta. There are attributes of it that could bode well, but I'm skeptical because this was this thing that was very uniquely Canada. He's a national treasure up there, and
he
for
is.
Him to be... On CNN, I don't know. But CNN's doing cool things lately. There's a couple other shows that are sort of interesting, different things going on. So who knows? It's a crapshoot. And actually, I always wanted, and I think you agreed, that George Strombonopoulos would be interesting. It would be great to have him down in the States. And I think we even asked him that when we went and saw his show.
Well, he said that things are so tightly regulated here, religion-wise, he'd be afraid to do a show about religion because of the way people react and things like that.
Wait, he's thoughtful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and intelligent?
That's a danger, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You gotta be careful.
Just the fact that he answered that with a reasonable answer... That's crazy. I don't think no, it's not going to work. It would never work. No.
I'm trying to find the website so people can actually see this themselves and not just take our word.
Strombo.com.
Strombo.com. You can see episodes of the
strombo.com.
Okay, I'm going there right now just to make sure that we're giving people the right. Yeah, there he is standing there.
And we're not trying to sell you anything. This is a show. You can watch everything for free.
Yeah.
That's his website. It's .com, yeah.
It is. They speak Canadian, but I think most people here will be able to pick that up a little bit if they just are patient.
Or find an app for it.
And I'm pretty sure you can watch episodes on that website. I'm almost certain.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's all free. I mean, I think they had to start including commercials in some of the streams, but it's really, really good interviews. Pick any of the people he's talked to that are interesting to you, and you'll be blown away by just, like, how disarming and how personable he can be, and then, like, how he can really open up, kind
the thing
of.
Is we saw the former the former prime minister's wife, I forget her name, Trudeau.
Yes,
Margaret Trudeau, right?
Yeah,
and the fact that I remember that tells me how much that interview meant to me, because
basically,
rather than the kind of American interview where people make jokes and whoop it up and there's all this cheering, he really gets to the heart of things, talks about stuff like addiction and tragedies in people's lives and philosophy and international relations and things like that. A really good conversation, an actual conversation that has you riveted if you care about these things at all. And that was you wind up getting an impression of the person they're interviewing in a much more thorough picture is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I find it so hilarious that we're talking about George Stromanopoulos because The Daily Show was that underwhelming. No, I mean,
The Daily Show was good, though. I mean, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the show, and
it's good for fighting depression.
Jon Stewart hit the nail on the head. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
There are fits, spurts, and glints.
Okay, I think we also have to address the other elephant in the room.
It is 900 degrees in here.
And it might as well be an elephant in the room, too, because if there was an elephant in this room, at least we could slice it open or something, and it would probably get cooler.
Can we look up the symptoms for heat stroke?
We have a serious problem here. And I'm not kidding anymore. We complained in the past about the conditions here at the station, and it's gone beyond absurd. We're in the 90s inside. It's pleasant outside. It's nice. It's in the 70s. It's very nice.
It's really pleasant all day.
For the last couple of months, we have been fighting the university to get this place some kind of air. It doesn't have to be air conditioning. Just air would be nice. And our equipment is failing left and right. We've probably lost tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment because of the ineptitude around here. And I'm sorry
good
if I sound
equipment.
Pissed off, but I am pissed off, and I'm bordering on passing out because we're sweating. We're both sweating, and that's why I can't think of what I need to say next, because it's how do you treat when your environment, all right, and when your environment is affected, as it was, say, with Sandy or with Irene or with the blizzard. We're here to talk about that, to take phone calls, to be your anchor, to be your sounding board. That is what radio is all about, and that is as relevant today as ever been. And I just fear that the people in charge don't get that. And, you know, I'm reading stories. Every day I read stories about a community radio station or a college radio station that has gone under. For instance, now we may think every single station around us has been taken over by NPR, National Public Radio.
A lot of them have. No,
around here, every single one has. There are no more community radio stations left on Long Island. And I say community and campus because we are both. It's a very unique thing.
This is a fact. You can say this.
Let's go down the list.
All right.
No, I'm wrong. There's Hofstra. Hofstra is still it's still a college station, so they're 88.7, I believe. They're in Nassau County.
Sure.
And their signal's not that great. Okay. I think there's another one at 90.3 Nassau. It might be Nassau Community or I don't know, or Delphi is one of those.
We've established that.
But this is certainly the only station in Suffolk that is not NPR, that is non-commercial and not religious. Basically, they're falling like things that fall. You see, I would get this reference if it wasn't 95 degrees in here.
Like gadflies.
Falling like gadflies?
What's a gadfly?
I don't even know what that means.
I'm not making sense either. They're wilting like
Well, you are sweating like I have not
chaff.
Seen anyone sweat before. Wow, that is something. Is that water getting in your eyes? Just wipe your forehead at least.
Yeah,
I'm trying to hit the microphone when you do it, though.
Sorry.
I read a story recently. There's a station up in Ossining, New York. Ossining, you might know for such wonderful places as Sing Sing Prison. But they also had a community radio station called WDFH. All right. And they have just been acquired by classical radio station WQXR. So, yeah, NPR has NPR bought WQXR. Or WNYC, which is part of NPR, bought WQXR and reduced its signal quality in New York City ridiculously. It was at 96.3, and you could get it all over the place. Now it's 105.9, and you can just get it in Manhattan. Huh. So now what they're doing is they're expanding to various places with other stations. So that's what I worry about. Every single station around us is NPR, yeah, but WQXR signal longer gets out here. So they could easily look at this place
as another
target. Absolutely.
They will assimilate like the Borg.
And what do you have? You have a station that no one listens to anymore because radio is irrelevant. That's not my words. Those are the words of people that don't know what they're talking about. They will say that.
No,
right?
But you're speaking into it.
I'm quoting them. I'm not speaking into it. I'm quoting them. And they will say, oh, and their equipment is terrible. It's all falling apart because they piped the heat in June. That's why it's falling apart.
Right.
Then we got to go on the air and raise money. And the final insult is we have to pay them a percentage of what we raise. Yeah, we have to do that. I mean, it's insane. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be this bitter about it, but for God's sake, people. And we have rodents running around this place as well. This has been going on for years.
Squirrels taking over in the building. Somebody really needs to think about this. The students, the listeners, we got to get a handle on how we interface with the university, all these things.
Yeah, I would be sympathetic. I always have been sympathetic because this place does more for the university than any other organization as far as I'm concerned. If this university was falling apart and scrounging for money, I don't know what I would be doing any different resources. We have some of the best people.
From the local station in an old antique car or on an old AM radio or something, old vintage
I guarantee you,
equipment.
If they are driving around in an old Studebaker right now, they are in a much more comfortable place. No matter how old that car is, and I know it doesn't have air conditioning, with the windows closed, parked outside in a parking lot,
the point is
you are more comfortable than us.
You don't have to do firmware upgrades. You don't have to do, get the latest version of the app. You don't have DRM and walled gardens and all this crud.
Oh, yeah, DRM. That's not even... That's an error right there, talking about the control they have over the things that you play. That's something that they are injecting into all electronic media.
How hard is it to block an IP? You can't block a transmitter. Yeah. You got to go there. You got to shut it off.
Well, we're doing a pretty good job here, actually, because, things are getting to the stage where the heat is getting so high that equipment will fail. And that's the equivalent. But you got to go through all that to get the equipment to fail. Internet radio stations, yeah, you cut one connection and you cut everybody off. Absolutely.
One line of config file.
And that's what happens overseas when radio stations or social media are on the air. The radio stations tend to last a little bit longer. Social media, yeah, cut the wire and everybody loses access at the same time.
If there was a localized drone strike for this part of the island, we'd be able to talk about it.
If there was a localized drone strike for this part of the island, I dare say we'd be in better shape than we are right now.
Probably.
But that's just my opinion, which is sort of compromised by heat stroke. And on that subject, can I ask you to turn that fan on over there?
Oh, we're going
to
do it, huh?
I'm kidding. Okay, I am sweating so much and I'm feeling a little dizzy. And I don't want to be the first. I don't think I would be the first person to pass out on the air, but certainly the first time for me.
Let's find the on switch.
Any switch has got to be the on switch. I mean, how many switches does a fan have?
You want me to hold it this?
Let's put it down on the table.
Oh, put it down.
You don't have to be all melodramatic about it. There we go. All right. Now, there go my papers. See, there's a number of reasons why fans in broadcasting studios don't work.
Is that okay?
How are you? Because I don't like the way you look. I don't mean that the way it sounded. I mean, I don't like... You look very uncomfortable.
Well, I wish I'd brought a cold towel, like a wet towel to have.
Yeah. Might as well.
No, I'm okay. I'm putting my feet up, though.
Okay, so now let's talk about something a little bit more fun than this.
Sure.
We went to Jon Stewart's show yesterday. That was fun. But we did something else, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we talked about this last week a little bit. And,
I
feel so much more chipper now that fan is on my face like that.
Can I just say this? Can I announce it?
Please do.
We rode bikes that were not ours.
Whoa, you gave it away.
No, New York.
This is what we got to do. We got to tell the story in ascending order as we started. It was in the middle of the night, Sunday night, and I said, hey, Kyle, why don't we get a snack? Well, you suggest getting a snack somewhere, right?
Yes.
So local Ukrainian place we know. We said, okay, let's do this. Let's go get a day pass for these new city bikes, which is about, what, $10 or something per bike.
Yes.
That will allow us to ride bikes not only tonight, but tomorrow as well, Monday. And, we walked over to a nearby stand, and what happened?
Well, we couldn't get the screen to light up. And we were standing there, and I saw this truck. And I said, E, there's a city bike truck across the street, and there's four legs in the back of it.
Meaning two people.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was something.
And we put two and two together, and you had leaned up against the kiosk as I was trying to get the screen to activate, and you opened the door, and the door was swinging wide open. We put two and two together. We figured, of course, the first city bike stand we approach is being repaired.
It's broken, yeah. And there were two people in the truck, and they had some massive battery or something they were replacing.
They had like five batteries, and they're trying to get these two wired up, ready to install, because something was wrong with this particular bike stand.
So, okay, you know what? It's our luck that we just happen to walk up to one that's not working.
Right out the gate.
They suggested wanting to go to the one that's one block away over on Avenue D, and we went all the way over to Avenue D and found it right there in the projects. It's right in the middle.
Oh, for show.
I put my credit card in the machine and entered all this information, agreed to all sorts of things, and then it said, we cannot help you now. Didn't give any reason whatsoever. It just said, sorry, we can't help you now.
Computer says no.
Yeah, pretty much computer did say no, and I said something else, and I don't regret saying that. And then you tried your credit card, and that worked.
Yes.
It worked. And what did you get? You got a couple of codes or something?
Yeah, but I would only later find out that you often get a receipt with the codes written down. So all of a sudden we had to remember two codes.
It's not hard because the codes can only have either...
I understand.
Was it 0, 1, or 2 in them?
1, 2, 3. One, no two, zeros.
Okay, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3. They're five-digit codes, but they can only have 1s, 2s, and 3s. And there's a very limited number of codes that you can have with those three digits
it's
in them.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pretty much, but the code would be 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, or something like that.
Yeah, five
so
digits.
So you told me my code,
yes.
And you remembered your code.
Yes.
I looked at I didn't just take your word for it. I looked at it. And I went to a bike, and I entered that code, and guess what? It didn't work. The code did not. Your code, of course, worked. And that's when I realized, okay, I'm cursed. I'm just going to be a victim of this thing all night long, apparently, because my credit card didn't work, the other machine didn't work, and now the code doesn't work.
That goes without saying.
So I was giving a little speech there about how unfair the whole thing was, gathering a little crowd of people. But then you decided to go back and get a replacement code for the code that didn't work.
Well, the crowd was breakdancing, but there was a crowd.
Okay.
Yeah, well, okay, so my code worked, but then we found out this other attribute of the bike stands.
Wait, was that when we found out that attribute?
Well, I got a replacement code for you, right?
Yeah.
Because you could do that.
Yeah.
You can get a replacement code. What I think had happened was... No, that was a different... Okay, yeah, this is further in the story.
You got to tell the story in the right order.
There's several nuances to this.
So basically, we got the codes and we rode the bikes.
Yeah,
that actually happened.
Did we find any loose bikes on
them? You see, you keep giving it away, Kyle. You keep giving it away. It's the heat. I know, it's not you. It's the heat.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, twice now you've given away the story.
All right,
so we rode the bikes across a couple of avenues, and it was really pleasant.
Awesome.
It was good. I mean, riding... But, you know, here's...
That's what I meant.
Here's the thing. Riding without helmets, I wasn't too thrilled about, but, of course, we didn't have helmets on us, and I hope that... maybe they could attach helmets to the front or something and make it so you have to fasten them back when you park the bike. I don't know. But people should ride with helmets. The city is not quite there yet as far as bike lanes. It would be nice if it were. It's great to ride in the city, but there are...
You really have to come up with a plan.
Yeah, there are treacherous...
every leg.
Treacherous places.
Yeah, every leg of your journey.
And I'm afraid of all these people that are starting to ride bikes for the first time in the city without helmets on top of everything else.
Yeah.
So anyway, we made it to our destination. And, of course, you parked your bike, no problem. I parked my bike, big problem, because it didn't take. I was pushing it in and pulling it out. It just wasn't fastening. And it was the only parking space left in that whole kiosk. So I'm giving another speech to another crowd of people about how ridiculous the system is. And I think you took my bike at that point and rode it someplace else and parked it in a different...
Yeah, I went further down. So I went down and I actually had problems locking it into one, but then tried a third now and was able to lock your bike up. So not only can you get... So a lot of the mechanisms on the different bike stands are having problems. The kiosks are having problems. That was our initial interaction with the locking of bikes. And that's a critical part of this thing because you can only rent for 30 minutes per leg of journey. If you are if you have the bike for any period longer than that, you are subject to a charge. And we actually think there's going to be a lot of these kinds of charges disputed because of the bike's not locking very well.
Now, you've given the story away three times.
I'm sorry.
Because we still haven't gotten to the point where we want to reveal what it was that we did. Before we do that, I have to turn on the other fan because that fan's just not doing it anymore. And I'm not sure how this one works. Is that it?
Sure. Yeah, no, you got it. Yeah, just...
All right.
So, we got two more codes. Baiting, seating properly.
How pulling? And, well, you had a bit of a longer conversation with the guy, and then...
Well, I mean, he was doing his most half-hearted help desk, like... thing, basically resulting in him suggesting, well, maybe you should try one of those a little further away, or this or that. It didn't go anywhere.
Maybe you should try hanging up and talking
really
to somebody
useless.
Else.
And I was like, okay, well, maybe it's the rain. Maybe your screens are getting all wet or something. I don't know. And I just hung up and did something of the same thing you did.
We just kept checking, and before long, you found a bike, too, that was unlocked, and we rode two stolen bikes back to where we wanted to go, because that was the only way we could get a bike.
Yes.
Was literally to steal them.
Yes.
Even though we had paid for them, we just pulled them out. And I realized what must have happened was the locking mechanism didn't work properly, or the person didn't put them in precisely the way that it's supposed to be put in, which is not clear at all.
Right.
They were being charged for all that time as if the bike was never returned. So actually, we had done them a favor.
Yes.
By riding the bike and returning it maybe someplace else but than they had intended to return it, but at least stopping the billing. But like you said at the very beginning of this whole saga, a lot of people are being charged.
Yes.
And some bikes still to this day have not been returned according to their system because it hasn't quite clamped in.
Yeah, but you have to push the bike all the way in, it goes amber, and then when it's green, you can step away.
Right.
But it's a bit of a triangle latch on the top of the fork, and that actually goes into the locking part. The wheel just goes into the slot sort of by virtue of getting able to ride a borrowed bike in the city, not